What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Billion Dollar Baby.
And it's your girl, Neela the Brave, on Let's Get Into It.
And y'all, we're approaching Christmas. Yes. Oh my gosh, I just feel the love in the air, the joy. Just
the warmth, oh my gosh. Right?
Yes. Right.
All of the delights, the hot cocoa, the family time, kids are out of school, just all of it.
Yes. And I love Christmas. That's been my favorite. And not just because of the gifts, but it's just like that family time. I love it.
Same here. It just gives us that time to refresh before the new year starts. Just to kind of sit back. And that's what I like about Thanksgiving and Christmas being so close to each other, because I think they both focus on two things quite alike. Gratitude and togetherness. So we tend to forget that all throughout the year, but it's a great way to end, I guess.
Right. That's true. And then you got the new year and it's just like, hey, now we celebrate everything together. We're going into this new year, this new path. And I just love it.
Same.
But, you know, a lot, you know, that has to do with these holidays is the food, right? So we got a topic to cover about meals and, you know, just how they may be, I don't know, seasoned. Yes. So we have a girl that says, hear me out. A lot of white people food, quote unquote, white people food, y'all don't like because it just tastes like what it is. And that's actually healthier than all that seasoning. And she proceeds to say, it be vegetables just tasting like vegetables.
Right.
And y'all call it white. Like, if you're not seasoning with pure herbal seasonings, then you just like salty stuff. And that's okay. But the more you detox, you see the difference. You just been tricked. If you're not even remotely healthy, health conscious, then you should definitely just keep scrolling. And honestly, I agree. I'm not like, you know, I grew up on soul food. I grew up on well-seasoned, you know, it tastes good. Like, you're going to have to drink you some nice, I don't know, iced tea, cup of water, something afterwards, because you're going to have that flavor in your mouth.
Right.
But I also, you know, as I grow old, you know, grew older, I've learned to be more healthy and I like to enjoy the food as what it is. I don't want to over season my green beans or, you know, overdo the broccoli. Like I want to feel and taste like, you know, the real nutrients behind the food that I'm eating. Right. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. And a lot of people feel like, oh, well, this doesn't have enough seasoning. It's white people food. Like, ma'am, actually salad with cranberries is actually good. Like,
it's healthy.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I think it's like an antioxidant. So I don't understand. I guess that's why, you know, cranberries are great. I mean, gosh, they actually recommend us to have cranberry juice when you have a UTI. So, I mean,
people are just funny. I think it just, you know, it deals with what we're used to as Black people. Like, we're like, if it ain't seasoned, you're not sneezing, you ain't seasoning it, right? So I mean, I get it. You know, you wanted it to taste good, which it can, you know, with the right herbs, your food could taste great. And I've been watching, you know, I'm a foodie and I like to cook and bake. So I'm more of like this, you know, I'm going to watch videos and see how they put this together. Right. And a lot of white people put seasonings. Trust me, they season their food. They just don't overdo it. You don't got to put seasonal, salt, you know, a whole bunch of extra stuff just to overdo and make up for some type of flavor that you need to fill in. Like, it doesn't have to be that, you know? But I love looking at the comments. I'm a comments girl. So, you know, I found one where somebody said, I literally have simplified so many of my recipes. It's just a lot of unlearning we have to do. Our parents did the best that they could, but it's our turn to nurture the culture back to health. I used to season my eggs with adobo chili or adobo. And she's like, child, now just a pinch of Himalayan salt and pepper. That is a chef's kiss. Like, you don't need a lot. And I do the same thing. When I cook my eggs, a little bit of salt and pepper, crack a little bit of that. And I use cracked like pepper and the salt, and I just shake it right on over and put some cheese and, you know, that's it. You don't have to overdo it with, oh my gosh, people just kill me. But yeah, definitely agree that the healthy spices are better. And it enhances the flavor and taste. So yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can definitely relate. It's kind of interesting. My background, half African, and on my other side, I mean, my dad, you know, African-American, of course, but he's not like Southern or anything. So like, I'm not accustomed to like chitlins or, I probably said that wrong.
Chitterlings.
Chitterlings.
or ham hocks or any of that. So like, just like extreme, like fat or, you know, lard or any of that, like not accustomed to that kind of cooking. But like one thing I did realize, like my aunt was always very like health conscious. So like she wouldn't, so she thought though, because she would actually add a lot of salt to stuff. So like, I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I guess she thought she was health conscious because maybe she didn't, you know, have mac and cheese and stuff. And maybe because she gave us a lot of greens, but she did like salt. She was a little bit salt heavy. My dad always was a little bit kind of basic when it came to seasoning. So like, for example, like I would be eating kale salads and he would even be like, don't put dressing on it. Like, it was just so basic. Or like vinaigrette. Like, that was the one thing with my mom. She's very health conscious. So like, even with a lot of African dishes, she doesn't make it technically how they would make it. Like, within her culture, they like a lot of peanut butter and a lot of like palm oil, and that stuff can just clog your arteries. So she has a tendency to just kind of find substitutes and stuff like that. Like, growing up, I didn't have a lot of red meat. My dad was against that. We didn't eat pork. So that was kind of eliminated. So they kept it pretty healthy. Like, we weren't even allowed to, I wasn't even allowed to have magic cubes, or in the African community, they call it cube mushy. But you know, those daggone squares.
Oh, yeah.
Bouillon cubes. But apparently they're like extremely salty. And my mom would be like, oh my God, they're so bad. Like, even like ramen noodles, you know. She was always like consistently on my tail about, you got to eat good, you got to eat healthy, because a lot of this stuff has a lot of salt, you know. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, what is salt, you know what I mean? But it makes me wonder now, kind of looking at the statistics and kind of why we have that health disparity within the Black community with the high blood pressure. I mean, it pretty high amongst us. Diabetes and the stroke. So I mean, we have that excessively. It's kind of proven within our statistics that maybe we need to back up from all the damn salt. But even me, like, I need to kind of be a little bit more conscious with that, because I think for me, it's had like an adverse effect, like, because I was kind of like not adding a bunch of salt here or not eating crappy foods before. Now it's kind of like, man, if I want to have some cheese in my broccoli, I'm adding some cheese in my broccoli.
Right.
But I do have to pull back and be conscious about that, because I mean, I don't think technically white people are onto the wrong thing here. I think less is better. I mean, and they even say like things with steak. Like, when you have a steak, it's not always good to have it overly seasoned, because you want to just appreciate the grade of meat. Like, you want to taste the meat.
So yeah.
They're really into that and just tasting it, the natural essence of whatever you're eating.
Yeah. And I agree a lot. Like, I think for just a small segment of my life, we ate like pork chops, but after a while, you know, and that's something that you do grow conscious of, especially the parents. With them, they started to grow conscious, you know, probably in the like early 2000s, or you know, like the 2009 2010 that time. So I experienced that transition within my diet and eating, and that was early on for me. So I appreciated that, you know, cutting out certain things like the pork and steaks, we still eat it, you know, and I don't feel like it's too bad, you know, but in moderation, you know, so you don't want to just be like, it's just all the time eating burgers and steaks, and because it can be a lot for you to digest, and it affects your gut health. So yeah, that's something that like I did experience towards like the, you know, early teen and on that stage, like I loved seeing, okay, asparagus on my plate, or, you know, squash, zucchini, stuff like that, that, you know, some people just know just green beans and just corn and, you know, just the regular things. And it's nice to just open your palate to new foods. I had just tried calamari. I don't know if that's like healthy or not, but
I guess because it would be fried. I guess some people would argue, but I love it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, even if it is fried, you know, like some things you could fry with panko. You don't have to do like flour, but it's certain things that you could substitute for it to get that taste and that feeling that you're needing for the comfort food. But then also it could be, you know, a good substitute and still do the job. So yeah. But I'm so excited for Christmas because my dinner I'm hosting this year, and my dinner is going to definitely consist of some healthy, conscious meals. We're going to have a nice big salmon, some kale greens. I am going to do the mac and cheese because that's just, hey, you got to
live a little. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you got to, you know, that's like a staple. And I just love mac and cheese. You know, mashed potatoes. But also remembering to use certain ingredients that substitute for the, you know, like some people use just regular old butter. I've been using a butter that is an Irish butter, and it is better for you. It actually, like if you look it up where the studies show, Irish butter is healthier, so that you don't, you actually have less stress.
And oh, it's weird,
but cholesterol and, you know, stuff that you know, pushes the high cholesterol, like butter. If you find a good substitute for it, you know, that could eliminate certain things like stress. A lot of people, if they have high cholesterol, you might deal with stress problems too, or anxiety. So there's a lot of different things that I started to substitute within the meals. So even if I do use potatoes as a starch, I'm going to use certain things to, you know, keep it on a healthy tip outside of the potatoes. So yeah, it's certain things that I've grown to. Like I said, I watch a lot of videos of people cooking, and I love seeing what you can use to make it healthier. I do feel like I might start to transition into like a vegetarian type of lifestyle very soon. Yeah, I don't know about going completely like vegan, but yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah, because I still, you know, but I might start off with like the pescatarian, then eventually vegetarian. Because I've realized like it's a lot of stuff that we could live without. We just,
right,
it's what we know, you know, it's all about what we know. So we just think, oh, that's the normal. Like, you got to have ham for Christmas.
No. Right.
You know, I tell myself, I don't want to do ham again. You know, I'm getting tired. And I love bacon. I like it. You know, it tastes good.
Right.
But I just want to start exploring. And, you know, even if I say I was a vegetarian for like 2 or 3 years, like at least I say I did it, you know,
right.
Like,
just, you know, for the experience.
Yeah.
And even if not, like, even if you have days where you're like, look, I need me some meat. I mean, don't even beat yourself up, because at the end of the day, you're doing better than a lot of folks. So
yeah.
Dude, it is what it is. Your layout sounds freaking amazing, I gotta say.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a sucker for salmon. Like, what? I will gobble it up.
Yes. And you know, I was like, I was trying to find the best fish. So I'm like out here looking like, so should I get Chilean sea bass, or should I get, like, what should I get?
Right.
But then I looked it up and I'm like, wow, the best fish that you really can have is salmon. Like, a lot of people,
the omega 3s.
I mean, I picked up like a Chilean Atlantic salmon. So I think that, you know, is just like more of like a wild. I don't know.
That's supposed to be better for you. Yep.
Versus the farm raised. So I think it does promote a lot more of the omega and all of those vitamins that you need and all those nutrients. But yeah, you know, I started to, and you know what's so funny?
What?
A lot of Black people are like, oh, like, we're in a chokehold with the salmon. Like, y'all making salmon nuggets, salmon this, salmon that. Like, it's like, hey, it's good. And if we could find ways
to enjoy it, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love, you know, trying new things with the same thing, because it just makes it feel like, okay. Because for a while, I would eat chicken just all the time. Just chicken. Right. And I would have to find different ways to hook it, because I can't just be the same thing, baked chicken every night, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I got to fit smothered chicken, you know, something. Right. Like, I got to do something different. So yeah, I love this, you know, that people have found different ways to hook up salmon because we love it. It tastes good.
As we should.
And if you get you a good, if you get you a nice good one, nice big old good filet.
Yes.
You know?
Why does that feel so satisfying? It's like, that's a good, that's a good cut right there.
Yes. Like, listen, I looked hard. I looked far and wide for the salmon. And I went to different stores and I finally found a nice size. And I mean, it was a good little penny, but it definitely, you know, it is worth it because it's thick. And, you know, like I said, it's going to spread. It's going to definitely like give everybody that fulfillment when they eat.
You know? And that's what I love about eating good food, like enriching food. Like, you don't feel bloated. You feel full, but you feel satiated. You don't feel like, oh my God, you know, like my belt's about to burst. It's just such a good feeling.
So. Yeah, a lot of people correlate, oh, like, it ain't good unless you're, like, unbuttoning your pants. Like, no, now I don't want to have a food baby because I still want to look cute after.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, you should, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot that I'm looking forward to as the years come with the holidays and those meals. Because, you know, the meals make it. The meals end it all. It top it all.
They do, for sure.
So when you got something good,
it just
definitely
feels good.
Does it. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm having my mom's cooking, and she's gonna make a leg of lamb. It's like her very popular thing that she makes. I guess lamb is supposed to be a little leaner or something. And then we're gonna have a salad and some mashed potatoes. We're keeping it like fairly simple because it's gonna be a very small gathering. I think it's really just gonna end up being me and her. Yeah, so it's like,
so it's like no point to do all this food.
So like I'm kind of liking that, you know, it's just enough and then you get to relax for the day, have some hot chocolate. I'll probably make some cookies. I don't bake now, you know, I'm about to Pillsbury. that's about it. But yeah, like I love the holidays.
You know, it's a cute little trick. If you get the regular, like, even if it's like the Toll House cookies that are already, you know, they have like them already shaped and you just like cut them out. And then you take, they have the Pillsbury where they're like, you know, the cute little ones that we used to get as kids. They're like the have snowmen and stuff. Yeah. You can put those right on top of the other cookie by Toll House. And so once it goes in and bakes, the print of the whatever picture, it might be a snowman or a Christmas tree or whatever, it goes right on top of that chocolate chip one and it just looks like a so it looks like a chocolate chip cookie but with the sugar one on top. And I think it's all about the timing and then maybe like the heat setting for the oven so that the one on top doesn't spread. It looks like oversized. But
I might have to try that and then post it on Instagram. Don't laugh at me if it's all messed up.
It's gonna be like an overweight tree.
It is
spread out. No, like,
what is that?
But it's definitely, you know, something to try. And I love doing little like, I don't know, projects or just activities for those days. Like for Christmas for us, we're gonna have like games, you know, little things for the kids to do. And I feel like that's the more important thing. We didn't really stress about gifts. We did get certain things, but we're not gonna just like flood the Christmas tree with all these gifts and make them feel like, oh my gosh, like I have tons and tons of gifts. Like, no, it really is about,
because a lot of times they don't even open all of them.
They don't open them at all, but then they also don't do shit with them after they open them. Like, you buy these gifts and they might pick like one good one out of all of the ones that they open. And then the rest of them are just sitting there. So it's like, and I get it. They might play with it, you know, afterwards. It's not just Christmas that they can play with them, but it's just like, I'm not about to spend my money all and just go crazy for this one day. Like, you know, they can be gifted throughout the year. It doesn't always have to be on just Christmas. And so I have taken pleasure in, you know, expressing that to my kids and making that the normal instead of me like going broke to get all these gifts, you know? So they definitely understand. I broke it to my daughter that Santa Claus is not real. Guys, don't hate me. I'm sorry.
But no, my dad did that too, though. He did that too.
And she wasn't mad. So it's like, she wasn't heartbroken or sad or anything. She was just like, you know what? Okay, so who gets the gifts? And I was like, so me and Daddy, we get your gifts. And, you know, that's just that. So if you want some gifts, you better be nice to us. But, like, the one thing that happened recently, school, they were doing, like, letters to Santa. And the teacher emails me and she's like, well, it was a general email to all the parents. And they're like, just to let you guys know, we had a discussion about Santa today. Somebody had an opinion that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Yeah,
some of the kids were upset.
She would do that too. Oh my God.
So emailed, because I was like, as soon as I was reading the email and I put my hand on my head, I'm like, damn. It had to be mine. So I emailed her back and I was like, please say it wasn't Zoe. She said it wasn't her.
Oh, wow.
So I said, okay. So I said, okay. So I asked her afterwards. I said, so y'all had a conversation at school about Santa? And she was like, yeah, we talked about it. And, you know, I said, so somebody said that, you know, Santa wasn't real. She's like, yeah. I said, you didn't say nothing about it? She's like, no, I was just coloring. I said, okay, so you chose to mind your business that day.
If my business was a person, like,
I said,
hey, I really could have sworn it was her too.
Me too. I swear. Listen, I believed it was her. I thought it was, but then I had to ask. I'm like, please say it wasn't her. I did believe it was her though, because it was like so coincidental. We just talked about it like right. That weekend. Then they go to school. Hey, parents, we had a conversation about Santa. I'm like, damn. Maybe I said it too soon. I don't know. But ultimately, it wasn't her, but she still, you know, entertains the idea. So if kids come around and be like, oh, Santa, he's giving gifts, she don't break their little hearts.
That's
so
very mature of her.
Yeah.
That's very mature. That's such a Virgo though, but that's very mature of her to be like, oh, you poor things, you don't know. But you know what?
Right.
I hope alive.
You know, I'm not gonna break it to her. I'm not gonna break it to her. I'm gonna just let you believe. It's your right to believe.
Oh, she's so cute.
But that was so nice. And I said, yeah, now that we got that out the way, and then we just went ahead and broke everything. The tooth fairy is not real.
Damn, you just did it all like
the Easter Bunny. We're not gonna entertain these facades. Like, listen, this is fake. This is American made up, you know, holiday. Holidays. I mean, you know, like the holidays is cool to, you know, embrace. Okay, so Easter is when Jesus resurrected, and
right.
Christmas is when Jesus was born, and all that, you know. But the other stuff that they done added into it, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and
right.
You know, I just had to recently look up, you know, the origin of Halloween. I'm like, I'm trying to make sure we ain't celebrating the devil's birthday or something.
Because you never know how things are set up.
You know? It's like, you never know. We just probably just going out, getting Halloween costumes, dressing up whole time, serving them. But I think it actually wasn't, you know, a negative thing from the very beginning, but it gradually did start to get that way. So you just have to be careful with some of these holidays, how into it you get, you know, because
you got to know what you're celebrating.
Right. So yeah, I personally just decided to start my own way of celebrating everything. And I love I love that everybody is on board and not like fighting against, you know,
right.
So yeah. Now the other thing I did want to touch on is, the cops, Humberside police. I don't even know like what city this is in. Oh, it's in Manchester. So again, still not really knowing where Liverpool, Blackpool, these areas. This is I don't even know if this is in this country, but overall, the police there were looking for this man. They said it, you know, they needed help tracking this man down. Because they want to warn people not to be around him, not the public to not approach him. But child. when I tell you the pictures of this man. Now we will post it on.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely post the link.
But he fine.
He is. I'm not even gonna lie to you. My type.
Yeah. He fine. But like, you know, I started to think about it. And I'm like, so why is it that us as women will say, or even not even just women, because men, they see the convicted.
They'll do that too, though.
Shorty could kill me. And I'm like,
right. Like, wait, it's like, what? You about to die over the pussy?
Like, make it make sense. I mean, and so it got to have me inquire about this. Like, why is it that the attractive ones, you know, tend to get like that? Oh, well, he look good or she look good, so it's okay. Because right. You had the one guy. I don't know what he did, but it was a light-skinned black man with like light eyes, tattoos all over him. He got locked up and had a mugshot sent out and everything. And you know, everybody was going crazy over this man. He started getting acting roles.
Yes, modeling and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah. Wild. So I'm like, what's going on? Like, this is odd. But I don't know. I guess if the crime isn't too bad and if they do the time, but then they also get some type of positive resolution, like having a career that may stop them from going back down the criminal path. Mm. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's giving pretty privilege a little bit.
Yeah, like it's definitely pretty privilege. Because I feel like if you know, I think that everybody's beautiful, but society has its, you know, pretty.
They do. It's like, it's definitely these individuals that are favored in society. You know what I mean? It's like people will automatically agree with them. People will automatically feel the need to cater to them. People will automatically dismiss a lot of bad that comes with them because of pretty privileges. It's crazy what people will ignore all because of looks. It really made me realize how superficial we are as a society.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's crazy.
But that's something that I've been seeing for a while now. Like, even as I was younger, like that whole like, oh, you look good and you have this particular look that is accepted, like keen nose, pretty eyes, you know, right. Certain little things, features that deem you as pretty or cute or attractive. That has been something that, you know, it's just like, it's been a big thing that people have been doing. But now you got where these model companies and people like to now, I don't know, grow off of the big nose and the big lips and the gaps and, you know, stuff like that, that now it looks like, oh, well, this is convenience for some, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's convenient in some kind of way. Because then you have like, you know, which I love that everybody's been accepted, but it is a thing where it's kind of like migrating. So yeah, we still have that pretty privilege, but then we also have people that have like these significant looks that may have been like downplayed before and been like even bullied for before, but now it's like, oh, you got a big nose, let me get you in my magazine. Oh,
right. Like people that are just like a little bit peculiar looking,
right?
That, you know what I mean, they'll really embrace that and be like, oh my goodness, you know, I need you to be in this magazine. It is interesting how that works. I mean, heck, if you even think about full lips, at one particular point in time, that wasn't considered an attractive feature. But it's funny how all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants full lips now, where, you know,
right,
you know how that goes way back. And I mean, hey, even curvaceous bodies, same thing. They used to make fun of African, you know, black women, you know, that had fuller lips and curvaceous figures. So it's just kind of interesting how those things are so in now.
Yeah. It's just some odd trends happening, but I don't know. I just would hope that eventually it's one of those things where you look the way you look and you're gorgeous the way you are, you know, from the inside to the out, not just like, okay, you're presenting a particular look that is trending right now, so we accept you. You know, I feel like that's just shady. Like,
it is. It kind of messes it. I think it could probably mess with someone's self-esteem, because it's mm-hmm. like you're now equating your value to what you look like physically. And it almost seems as though people aren't appreciating the inner value. And I mean, I think that's what ends up the issue. I mean, I know I'm going out, I'm stemming out further, but I think that's why we are having that issue, that disconnect, even with dating, because it's like men are looking for something and women are looking for something. And it's like, I mean, I've done that. If you're focusing on how attractive that person is, you will end up ignoring, you know, all these other traits that could be alarming in a regular situation. And then it becomes a situation where you're like, they look good. You know, and it's like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but you're ignoring all the red flags, all because you're preferential to their looks. It's kind of crazy when you break it down.
That, I mean, it is a big thing. Like, I don't know. I've never been like, I mean, I think coincidentally, I've been with attractive guys, but overall, I've never been like, oh, this is the deal breaker. Like, you have to look like this. You know, so because I've always needed substance behind the looks. I've never been a superficial person. So, you know, and I've never been like particular to a particular look either. You know,
I feel like some people have a type. So you're saying you don't really have a type technically.
No. Yeah. Like I've been I mean, I've been open to pretty much anybody that, you know, has something within them that provide like that shows like substance or depth. You know, I just can't be, deal with a shallow person. So, you know, I've always been interested to that, but then also I think it just conveniently happened that they looked good.
That they look good
in
the
society's way. Yeah, like so yeah, which I mean, honestly, I'm not saying, like I said, I think that everybody looks, you know,
I mean, but some people are high, are favored physically.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know the difference between somebody who's like a guy who's like got an average build and a guy who it's like, oh, he works out. Right, you know, like, you know he's going to be favored. You know, like, that's just the assumption, unfortunately. And I mean, that's kind of proven in this case here. Like, this guy, you can tell he works out. You can tell he's probably got a smile that'll make you pass out. Like you could just tell, like, you know, he keeps himself together, like he really cares about his appearance. But I guess, you know, kind of like the amount of effort a person puts into their appearance, I guess that can kind of, it should kind of be rewarded, because it's a lot of effort people put into working out, eating well, grooming and stuff like that. So I mean, I don't know, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But I've always been like the person, I was a little bit like, not everybody, like most people, a higher percentage of people that I dealt with weren't that great looking, but I was always the person that just dealt with, you know, you're an intellectual. I like how you think. Your brain is what is titillating to me. You know what I mean? And then everything else kind of followed suit. But like with that, I felt like there was like insecurities that were involved. So it kind of became a situation where I'm like, shoot, if I'm gonna have to deal with all this BS that comes with dating someone, you know, that I'm looking beyond what they look like and kind of just dating them for who they are, perhaps maybe I should start looking, you know, towards finding someone that could be more physically my type, you know.
But and that's hard. I think that's a hard thing to deal with when you don't look at just the looks, you look at that person, and then they're like, I guess they feel like they were out of your league. So then they're like sensitive or even insecure behind that. And then they just like make up stuff that
they end up treating you like shit.
Yeah. That's kind of hard, because then, cause it's like, you're naturally not the type of person to be like, oh, I'm all about the looks and I like you for you. But then they're like, oh, well, why do you like me so much? I don't look good. You know, it's like, damn, like you just fucked it up.
Like, you were doing good. You were doing so good. Right. That's exactly like, how it is.
You know what? Now let me just find a pretty nigga. Because at this point.
And that's what it makes you do. And so that's basically what I've been on now. And that's why it's funny when people come at me like, well, maybe if you stop picking the ones that always. And it's like, well, wait a minute now, buddy, old pal. I was the type to like a person for who they were, and they were batshit crazy because they were super insecure. So now I'm just trying to try something different, you know, because obviously it wasn't working over there. So now I'm just trying to try something different. But
that's crazy. Oh, man.
Pretty freaking privilege.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody's beautiful. I hope that everybody sees that, you know, and slowly but surely it will become a more accepting, you know, society, hopefully. But
do you think so with this, you know, with social media and how everything is about having a facade and hiding behind it? You know, I mean, people are photoshopping photos, this and that, and all these kind of things that we hide behind to be our less true selves. And you know what I mean? Like, I just wonder, like, if I feel like social media has kind of nudged us towards being more obsessed with our physical as opposed to inside.
Yeah, that's true. And it's like, I don't know, like, I would hope that eventually people get over this little thing that's happening. Because I mean, let's just face it, social media is here. It's never going anywhere anymore. Right. You know, so it's just going to keep going further and further and further up. So with the whole like trend of everybody wanting to look the certain way and wanting to be accepted in this way, and then seeing those looks where it looks like everybody likes this, because, you know, you got the people that follow the likes and, you know, oh, who's trending, who's, you know, in the popular pages or whatever. So you got that, and it's kind of like in your face. So it's hard to get away from that. But I think that it might be something that, you know, it just, the phase comes and it goes, because like you said, there was a time where the thin was in. And then it was like this time where little waist was in, and big butt. And then now it's like them, like slim, thick, or, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, it changes every few years. So hopefully with people knowing that pattern and then knowing, okay, so this is just like, it's just a trend, you know, or maybe it's just something that people just get into and hop on the bandwagon for. So let me not get like obsessive about this, you know? So hopefully that is something that happens. And people grow to understand, okay, so this is not real life. It's just what people like, or what people think they like from what they see. So then they could just move on, you know?
Right.
Hopefully that is how it's going to, I guess we'll never know. We'll have to stay tuned and see.
On the next,
that's one of the, you know, this is one of those things where it's like, I hope people just need to get it together. It's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to look a certain way or be a certain way for yourself. But if you want to be it because everybody else is it, then that's not it.
Right.
So yeah,
it goes into that whole competition thing. It's like, just worry about yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. Just worry about, stay in your lane. That way you're not disappointed. That way you're not depressed. Just stay in your lane.
Yeah. Like a lot of people, and it just brings it like light to a lot of like different things, because you have Coi Leray, who, she's like constantly getting body shamed because she's thin.
And Glorilla.
Yeah. And some people think, oh, well, since they got money now, get work done. Mm-hmm. It's like, first of all, that's not even her natural body composition. Secondly, you know, to be bigger than what she is, like, how do we know that might look right or that it will be accepted? She's going to go and compromise her health, her body, her life to make other people happy for what they want to see.
Right.
That makes no sense.
To accommodate you. And it's like, she's going to sleep at night. She's stuck with that decision. I mean, and if something bad were to transpire, she would be stuck with that choice. Mm-hmm. And having made it just to please the public. And it's like, come on. Who wants to do
just
that?
Just like K. Michelle got them ass shots. What did it do? Landed her in a wheelchair. Then she had to perform in a wheelchair and you know, be on stage in a wheelchair for quite some time because she had scar tissue and infection all in her ass.
Ugh.
That, like, come on. So all of the great 2-3 years that you walked around with this big ass and everybody loving it, and now you're, you know, infected. Are they infected? No, it's you. So it's like, don't care about what other people look like or what people want you to look like. Who cares? And I mean, it just, shit, we got to get it together. We got to get better. Cause I know for me, listen, I have a nice little thick little, you know, shape, mm-hmm. but I've always been a part of the small boob. What do they call it? Itty bitty
committee. Itty bitty titty committee.
Listen, and I don't give a fuck. Listen, at the end of the day, if I was meant to have big old, you know, boobs flopping all over the place, that would be the thing. But I don't, and I'm okay with that. And honestly, and I just, you know, the other day I was like, damn, if I had really big boobs, my back would probably hurt so bad.
That's the thing with
my back already hurt. So I don't want it to hurt anymore. Like, it's just certain things that, you know, if it's meant for me, then it's going to be. And if it ain't, then I'm just going to love the way it is. And,
right.
You know, people just got to start accepting themselves and love themselves the way they are, mm-hmm. and not mind the comments of what people think that they should look like.
Yeah, like, don't let that influence you, you know?
Yeah. Because next thing you're going to be laying out, and you got to be careful with this stuff. This could lead to death.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Isn't that the way Kanye West's mom died from getting some type of surgery?
Yeah.
Same with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He has something going on. I mean, all those surgeries, so back to back to back to back to back, that eventually he had issues with breathing and stuff like that. And I mean, you know, maybe one surgery didn't impact him and die and made him die. But
maybe it was the accumulation.
Yeah. Over time, all of that, that's a lot. So. Right. Yeah, I mean, it gets to a point where people look at the pictures of you as a child, and then look at you, you know, before you got the work done. They're like, "Damn, what liked you better then?" So imagine you going through all this knife work just for somebody to say, "We liked you the way you were before."
Oh my god,
I would be pissed.
Especially if you're doing this to appease, right?
Yo, especially if I died, I would be like, damn, y'all done set me up. And it just, it's like, no, we're not going to do that. And it's 2020, it's almost 2023. Let's get better with that. Like, people should not shame, body shame, or, you know, make people feel like they're less than just because of what they look like. Like, no, everybody looks like their own selves and the way that they look for a reason. God made us different for a reason. Everybody not walking around looking like an ant body, you know. From God, like, that's from the doctor. The doctor, the God didn't say that. So, you know, it's just get it together, people. Get it together. And if your lips ain't full already, don't do nothing to your lips.
Please. It just, because like, it's about to pop. I don't know.
And that ain't good either. You can get infection in your lips.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. If your lips aren't meant to handle all that tissue, then your lips will, And then you might even have tough lips.
I think that makes you susceptible. I could be wrong, but I think that makes you susceptible for, you know, always having that stretching out of the skin, and because it'll deflate. So let's say you have, you know, your injections after a certain amount of time, depending on your metabolism, it could be four months, it could be 6 months, or however long, they'll start to deflate. And my thing is that I don't think that your skin tightening and loosening and tightening and loosening is good in the long run. You're going to end up with saggy ass lips. And it's just like, you know, who wants that?
Yeah. People don't think about that, though.
They should
think about the instant effect or the instant, you know, look, but never the longevity of it. So get somebody else to do it. Listen, the most I'm going to do is touch that gym. I lift the weights, get it together. You know, if I need to, you know, expand some things, but other than that,
I'm an advocate for, you know, adjusting things if you want, but I just feel like you should be in a mentally stable, good place to do it. And I don't like it should be excessive. You know what I'm saying? If you're like this, I want to just change my body composition for one good time and that's it. Or I want to do this, or I want a little definition. But, you know, try to stay as natural as you can. The idea is enhancing yourself, not totally getting yourself to a place where you're unrecognizable. And right. you know, don't even risk yourself to a point where you're risking yourself for others. If you want to risk yourself for you and you've made right. that decision, go ahead. But the idea of doing it because you feel like men will like you more, because that's not true. The men will still cheat on your ass.
Right.
So it's like, that doesn't matter. Don't do it for a man. Don't do it for acceptance. Don't do it for because you think it's cool, because trends are ever changing. What is cool today will not be cool tomorrow, just like you said previously. So it's just stay in your own lane. If it's something you've always wanted, like I've always loved Marilyn Monroe, you know, and I mean, if yes. she's not even really that curvy considered to today's standards, but I've always looked up to her and I've always appreciated more of a curvier figure. So that was always my goal. And I knew that, you know, there's just certain things that would not get me to it. But that is why for me, that option stood out. And again, I wanted to be as natural as possible. I didn't
But I want... feel like yours, you look natural. And that's the Thank thing. You. People don't realize it's three steps to it. One, don't do it for other people. Yeah. If this is something that you genuinely just to make you feel good, okay. Two, don't get excessive. If right. it's not looking like, okay, you probably just, you know, body trained or built some muscle or built, you know, got it together that way. Okay, then maybe it's not the right decision. And three, it's like, make sure that it's healthy for you. Not only just how it looked, because it could look good, but then how is it going to affect your inside, you know?
Right.
So people don't do enough research to know how this really will affect them. I feel like for you, you did it because you wanted it, not because somebody else told you or because you just seen everybody. So you was like, okay, I'm going to do it too. Right. You did it because that's been a, you know, goal for yourself. And a lot of people don't realize that it's certain things that you might just have to, you know, get augmented or, you know, or I don't know, fixed or enhanced or whatever, because there's like, okay, boom, you might have kids and then your boobs. I mean, we know boobs change after you have kids. So your boobs might be way more dense or, you know, not as full and, you know, the way that they were before. So that might take a little augmentation, a little, you know, perking up or, you know, something to build them back up to make them look feel like how they were before. But to just, you know, not have anything, you know, that ultimately changed or affected your body and then be like, I'm just gonna go and get all of this stuff and it's for somebody else or to look for, you know, to have a look that's trending, that's not a good reason to do it. Yeah, but I feel like you're, for one, you look amazing because it's filling in the areas and it need to be where it needs to be. Yeah, you know, it's not like you walking around big ass little thigh, little stomach, big old chest. Like everything's proportioned right. You know, that's how it should be.
Right.
Because I mean, if we didn't know, we would just think it's, you know. So right. just like leave it to be a mystery if that's the case. You know,
right.
we would never know.
Right.
But.
Right.
For it to just be like the obvious, like bam, man, what the hell?
Yeah, yes, it just be too much. It's like, all right,
I hate seeing that.
It's excessive. Yeah, it's too much.
Too so much. I don't know. We just y'all did, listen. I'm gonna just y'all go ahead and do what y'all wanna do, but keep those things in mind that I said. Yeah. I know the one thing that we wanted to discuss before we wrap it up. So there was this food delivery. Now, a lot of people have been, you know, talking about the delivery services and the people that, you know, drive and do for DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, whatever, that they're not getting tipped enough. So this food delivery driver tossed the customer's food on the ground for not tipping.
Damn.
Okay, so... I want to play it, but it's a clip, but I feel like the sound is not too good because it's a Ring. It's a Ring doorbell that actually caught the footage. Yeah. So
do you want us just to add the link and just expound upon it? or
let's do that. But I mean, I'm gonna go to the comments because a lot of people have stuff to say about that, and it's been a topic before, but it's pretty much saying it's a service. You're supposed to tip. If you can't afford the food and a tip, then go get your own shit.
Okay, because
I believe that if you were to go into the restaurant and sit down and you expect people to come bring drinks, every time you're done with the drink, refill it. Oh, the food's not hot enough. Heat it up. Oh, this wasn't what I ordered. Go get another. Like, if you expect somebody to do all that,
right,
make sure you tip. So that it goes the same way. When you order something that you expect somebody to drive their car, to put gas in their car, to go to a store, it might be raining, it might be cold, it might be hell outside. You still expect them to go out because you're paying, right? You're paying for the initial service, as far as the food and I guess the upfront little tip, that the service fee, whatever. But outside of that, for somebody to be effective and communicate with you, hey, it might take a little bit longer than expected. The food's still getting prepared. Hey, you know, what apartment do you live in? I gotta come up all these stairs to deliver your food. Like, stuff like that, be mindful. If you don't have it, you might wanna find other options so that you don't have to put somebody in a position to feel like I'm not getting tipped enough. Because that's a big thing. It is a service. You're not paying to just have somebody do the minimum, because you're expecting, you know, at the end of the day, you got to rate these people, right? So you're going to give them a 5-star and or what? You're going to give them a 3-star and say, oh, well, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, but then don't tip them barely, you know, like, I don't know. It's just me personally. I agree. Now, I don't know about throwing a girl food on the floor, on the ground, but who knows? The person probably, because it, you know, it's just a little clip, so it doesn't really expound on the whole thing. But I just feel like at some point people get fed up. You know, you accept the order and you do see the base tip, but if you come out and get just $2-3 and that's it, you might have drove 15 to 20 minutes to deliver the food. That's a lot. That's somebody's time, everything. So, and I know I'm talking a lot in details with this. The reason why I know is because I do this stuff on the side. I do. So, and you know,
so you can relate.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, this is your job. Listen, I have a full-time job and I do this podcasting. Right. And if I want to just make a little extra money here on the side, I might do some DoorDash or some Instacart.
As you should.
You know, and it's up to me if I want to do that. But it's also, you know, say, oh, well, this is just your job, so you should be able to be dealing with $2 tip or no tip at all. Because some of them don't tip at all. So it's like, you know, one of those things where just be mindful. People are human. Just like you expect top service when you get your food delivered.
Right.
You know, expect that we might want a little something too, because we coming out our way to deliver your goddamn food.
Right.
If it wasn't for us, then where would you would have to go get it, right?
So, of course. I definitely relate. I mean, it's true. If you don't have the money, you have no business buying it. It's just like when you go get your nails done. I always like to tip. I just believe when you're being provided a service, I get it. It's their job, but they did a good job. Reward them for that. And that's the thing. People will remember you. And they'll appreciate it. It's just like, kind of think of how you would feel if you were in that situation, you know? So I do try to tip as best as I can. And then if I know if I can't tip, if I only have money for what I need to buy, I'm just going to go pick it up my damn self.
Exactly.
You know,
just like that,
you know, I have no business, you know, putting somebody out of their way and giving them pennies, because it's not worth it. Between the gas and all that, it's not even worth the run. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just like, you gotta be considerate, kind of be empathetic. And I think a lot of people lack empathy to kind of think of how would I feel, you know, if I was in that situation. And now, like, even being a bottle girl, when people don't tip, it's like, yeah, I get it. I get paid at, you know, an hourly based pay. But the reason why I was attracted to even start doing this was because like, all right, okay, because. So when, you know, I'm dealing with your funky attitudes, I'm dealing with you can't seem to make up your decision at the table because y'all trying to act like y'all got money and trying to sit here and post it on somebody to pay for the damn tab, but nobody mm-hmm. want to speak up first. Just that patience that it Girl. Takes. It's just like, you know, I definitely can also relate. A tip is warranted. Like, damn, mm-hmm. tip.
Because my thing is, and this has always been my thing, especially when I go out to clubs, if I'm going to go out to a club and I'm going to go get some bottles and stuff, do VIP, I'm going to have the money to tip. Mm. Like, that's just not a, you know, and it's going to be based off of what I got, too, and what the party consists of. So I'm not going to be cheap, you know, and go out and be cheap. That doesn't make sense. I'm going to go out and say, all right, I want to go out and expect a service, I'm going to go out and make sure I can afford that service. So, right. you know, that's so disheartening to go to a club or to even be the bottle girl at the club and be working, knowing what the job is based off of, you know, it's not really just the hourly, it's the tips. So to be there and to put on a nice outfit and to look sexy and to do the job of bringing the sparklers and bringing the sign saying happy birthday free person who this person's out of jail or whatever the case might be, you know, and be out here like, hey, coming up to your table with the bottle. And then at the end, y'all fighting to see who gonna pay. Oh, but let's split the check. Let's do this. Let's do that. And barely leave a tip. Mm-mm.
A mess.
No. So, no. You know, I just better with the whole, just with everything, because we're not here to just give for free. Sorry, that's not the type of world we live in anymore.
Right.
It costs money. So if you can't afford it, stay home. Do your bottle service on your couch in your living room.
Okay. Liquor stores around the corner.
Get one of your baby mamas to come and dress up with the bottle in the sparkler and say, hey,
happy birthday to you. Do it all at home.
Listen. We
not-, not on a good Friday, honey. No.
I just, you know, people are funny, but yeah, that's one of those things that hopefully over time people will understand so that they can start doing better. Cause if you were in that position, I'm sure that you would want the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I like this. I like this little conversation that we had today.
And it's sad that it's got to come to a close.
Yeah, but we'll be here next time.
Yes. And I hope everybody enjoys their holiday. I hope you walk away with, and I know a lot of people get drunk and they get turned, and then that's when everybody wants to talk about, like, you know, the traumas of the family. It's like, can you not do that? Okay. Like, can y'all not just enjoy yourself? Yes. All right. Have fun. Enjoy the moment. Life is too short. You know what I mean? There's so many moments that people wish they could play back and took advantage of them because of beef or, you know, unforgiveness. Just relish the moment.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. And don't go too crazy with the alcohol, y'all. just have a good time. Enjoy. And don't let nothing slip out your mouth that, you know, yeah, one minute to slip.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. So but, keep it drama free and keep it peaceful.
And that's it for now. Until later.
Signing out.
Bye.